Well, good morning and welcome this morning to Victory Baptist Church. I'm glad that you've been able to join us this morning, and we trust that we will have a blessed time together. We're so thankful to be able to gather in this way, and to many who are joining us online this morning, we sure appreciate that. We look forward to a special time, special service together today. We're going to start off with a scripture reading from the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. So I invite you to take your Bible. Hopefully you have it there handy, and you can turn over there to Revelation chapter 12. And we are going to be reading the first four verses here. Please notice what the Bible says. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And upon her head was a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and the 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. We're continuing in the series here on the revelation of God. We've been working our way through really the tribulation period, as much of the central part of the book of Revelation talks about that 7-year period of tribulation which will come upon the earth. And we're going to take a pause in the narrative as we go into a parenthetical section of the book of Revelation, where we have an allegory before us. We're going to look at this here this morning. All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Father, we do come to you in prayer, seeking for your help in this time. As we have your word open, that you would be our teacher, that the Holy Spirit would have liberty, and even those joining us online this morning, that their hearts would be stirred with the truth of your word. Lord, that you would give us courage in these challenging days in which we live, in these last days in which we live. Lord, we do pray for our nation, the United States of America. We're so thankful for the God-fearing men and women who were influential in its founding. We are thankful as well for a God-fearing people who have stood for the right across the ages, across the generations. We're thankful for the churches that have proclaimed the truth of the gospel without a shame, unashamedly. Lord, we are thankful for those who stand for the right even now. We pray for truth in our nation. We pray even in the challenges and the issues of this election. Lord, we pray that truth would triumph, that honesty would prevail, and that error and corruption would be exposed. Lord, we ask this. We know one day you will deal with all corruption, and you will hold everyone accountable, but Lord, we ask for your mercy in an honest and fair and just election result, whatever that may be. Lord, may the truth prevail. Father, we do pray again for the different families. We pray for the different individuals of this congregation. We pray that you'd continue to encourage each one. Help us to grow closer to you. Help us to have hearts full of gratefulness this Thanksgiving season. And Lord, we do pray for your grace right now, that you would help us to listen and take in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, chapter 12 here begins with a great wonder in heaven. A great wonder in heaven. We have an allegory before us. Now, last week, we talked about, in the last part of chapter 11, we talked about how heaven was preparing for the divine seizure of planet Earth. And we won't have time to do a review on that, but that was last week's message, and a lot in those few verses. We see heaven's plan, which will be fulfilled. God's kingdom will prevail. And as we come into this allegory, we see a very similar thing. And first of all, I want you to notice the time frame of this allegory. What is the time frame? Let's notice together here, the Bible says in verse 1, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, which was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne." Now, it is obvious in the allegory here, the time frame. We go right to the beginning of creation, right to the time when the devil fell, when the devil in pride rebelled against God. And I believe that's a reference right here in verse 4, which we'll look at further in just a moment. But I want you to think about the time frame of this allegory. It goes from the beginning of the creation to Jesus' incarnation, when he came to this earth, his birth, miraculously, his blood that was shed for us, which will be mentioned a little later down, and then right up to where we are in the tribulation, in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. It brings all of this into perspective. So this is really a flashback, because here we are in the narrative of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, and we have a flashback all the way to the beginning of time, when the devil fell and took with him 1/3 of the angels of God. And we see all these events. So I just want you to have that flashback time frame in reference. Okay, now we're going to talk about the characters of the story, and I've mentioned a few of them already. But first of all, we have the woman. Now this woman is, in the allegory, none other than Mary, the earthly mother of Jesus, the virgin who brought forth the God-man by the conception of the Holy Spirit of God. And so we see the woman here in the story. Now, there are some places where the application is broader than just to Mary herself. It's to her people, to her descendants, to the seed of the woman, to really, by extension, the nation of Israel. So that's going to be application or extension of who the woman is Israel being represented, which of course Christ came through the line of Israel, through the line of David. The next character in the allegory here is the great red dragon. Notice this in verse 3, it references him there, and he will be talked about in further verses as well. The great red dragon here, he is said to have 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, in chapter 17, we won't take time to go over there, but in chapter 17, it delineates some of what those 7 heads are and 10 horns. And it's really talking about other kings, other rulers, some that have reigned, some are yet to reign. The 10 horns are 10 kings that would reign with the devil, with the beast, in the latter part of the tribulation period. So chapter 17 talks more about that meaning. But really it is referring to principalities and powers which the devil controls. So that's the character here, the great red dragon. Notice in verse 4, it tells us that his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. I believe that this is referring to how many of the angelic host rebelled with Lucifer? It's a staggering amount, frankly. 1/3. The Bible is very specific here, and I believe that that is what this is referring to. Drew with him 1/3 of the stars, it says, of heaven. And so these are demons. These have now become demons. They used to be angels. and they have been cast down to the earth. And of course, this great red dragon, the devil, is persecuting or going after the woman and after her child, of course. And certainly we see that throughout history, not just when Herod tried to kill baby Jesus, but even broader than that. God's people have been hated and pursued with great disdain through the ages. All right, so we have these first two characters. I'm going to just take a moment further. I've got two more characters I'd like to unfold here. But I'm going to talk just for a moment about, take you to some scriptures about the devil and talk further about who he was in just a few moments here. So go to Ezekiel 28, if you would. Ezekiel 28, Old Testament book here. A striking passage which talks about the devil, Satan, Lucifer, that's referred to here as the great red dragon in Revelation there. I want you to see that he was created beautiful. He was created with great musical abilities. And so Ezekiel 28, we'll pick it up in verse 13. It says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering." In other words, he was arrayed, he was decked with these stones, the sardis stone, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. This is a reference to Lucifer. And it talks here about his beauty, all these wonderful jewels, all these medals that arrayed him, that he was arrayed in. It also talks about his tabrets and his pipes. A tabret is a musical ability. Same root there as where we get the tambourine or the timbrel. This is a percussion type of instrument. The ability to do that from his own being, his creation. Also pipes. Pipes may very well refer to the setting for jewels or a setting for a jewel, but it also does refer in the Bible to instruments and would be more of a wind type of instrument. So we can see he was beautiful and he was created with these wonderful abilities, which of course were to praise and honor the Lord, which he did not do, rebelled against. And so first, created beautiful. You know, when I think about music and the power that music has, and I think about how the devil was created with these musical abilities, we know that heaven is filled with music. There's singing around the throne of God, and apparently this beautiful angel was designed in such a manner. Now, thinking about how the devil fell and how he twisted and turned everything good into something bad, I think that we ought to be very wise and careful about our selection of music. I think that the devil definitely has fingers on music, and there is some very dark, oppressive, wicked, and corrupt music in our world today that is, in sad, some situations, accepted amongst professing Christians. And it's not just the words. It's not just the lyrics. Boy, the power is in the music itself. And so we ought to be cautious of that, just knowing that. Verse 14, "And thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so." God says, "I made you this way." Thou wast, middle of verse 14, "thou wast upon the holy mount of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. And so here is a passage talking about the devil. We won't have time to go to another passage, but in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 14, beginning approximately verse 12, it talks here about how Lucifer has fallen from heaven, talks about his pride and his rebellion. And so here we have, back over in our Revelation 12 passage, we have in this allegory the devil, Satan. And I already have mentioned this, but as we go through the characters, we've had Mary, and also by extension Israel, we've had the devil here. We have also, of course, the son of the woman, which is mentioned here. The man-child, which she brought forth. Verse 5, this is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That is very clear. It says here in verse 5 that he's going to rule all nations with a rod of iron. That, of course, has not happened yet. And that's when he comes to seize planet Earth, to retake and to rule literally and bring righteousness and rid the planet of wickedness. All right? Also, we can see that. So there's the Lord Jesus, God incarnate, coming through the seed of the woman. And of course, it references his ascension back to heaven, which happened 40 days after his resurrection. The book of Acts chapter 1 tells us that he ascended back. He is even seated now on the right hand of the Father. We have another character in the story, and it's Michael, who is an archangel, a chief angel. And so that is mentioned here as well. Verse 7 begins that. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So we have Michael, who is, I just want to say it very, very succinctly, that Michael is not Jesus. He is an angel. He is a chief angel, and he's called a prince of angels. You can see in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, he was helping Daniel there, and he's called one of the chief princes. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, Michael stands up, the great prince which standeth for the children of my people. And in Jude chapter 1, verse 9, Michael is referred to as an archangel. And so Michael here fights for the Lord and with a host of other angels against the great red dragon, Satan. So there you have the main characters of the story. Now, I know that believers, you know, will enter into here some, but the main allegorical characters are these four that we've mentioned. Let's notice now the war of the ages. The war of the ages. We see in verse 7, the Bible says that there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was there found place anymore in heaven. And all God's people said, amen and amen. I'll tell you what, he is a defeated foe. That wicked, vile character, he is a defeated foe. Praise God. And the devil lost, and he was cast out of heaven. Verse 9 says the great red dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Mind you, the word Satan means accuser. But he was cast out, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And so the demonic forces are fallen angels. And we see the Bible referencing these things. Now, notice verse 10. It says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day. Now, with very little time here to open up these truths, putting several scriptures together, comparing scripture with scripture, which is what a Bible student should do, there was a time early on when Satan rebelled that he was cast out of heaven. But in the book of Job, we see him still appearing. If you read Job chapter 1. It tells us about how Satan appeared before God, giving account. It also tells us in chapter 2 of Job how Satan appeared once again. And it appears, and this is, my understanding, is that from the beginning when Satan fell and was cast out of heaven, there was still some privilege he had to return and stand before God. But it seems to me that perhaps at the cross, when Jesus died, that the devil was no longer allowed to even return back to heaven. And without being able to go to those scriptures, it's hard to make that point clear, but I do notice him being cast out of heaven, but still being a temptation to earth. And so notice that in verse 8, that the war in heaven with Michael and the other angels, the devil was cast out and he prevailed not. Verse 9 says the great red dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. So in other words, his deception is noted, that perhaps there was a second after he had already tempted Eve in the garden, after he'd already caused much affliction upon earth, he was demoted yet even more and not allowed back as we saw him in the book of Job. All right? So there seems to be something like that. And verse 10 really assures that in my mind, or leads me in that direction, which says, I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So I picture him accusing them in the sense of Job there. And the victory won through Christ on the cross. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Clearly, the victory over the devil is not your determination. It's not your, I'm not going to go his way. It's not that. It's not self-denial that will resist his temptations. My friend, the only way to prevail, the only way to have the victory over this arch enemy is to know Jesus as your Savior and to walk with Jesus. The Bible tells us by submitting to God, we can resist the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The Bible also tells us in 1 Peter 5 verse 8 to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Yes, and verse 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. You see, it's only by our adherence to Christ, it's only by our vital connection to Jesus that we can share in the victory. Because the victory's been won. The devil is a defeated foe. And praise God for that. He is not only cast out of heaven, his doom is sure. And though for this time he is yet roaming this earth, seeking whom he may devour, we do not have to be devoured by him. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The gates of hell cannot, because Christ is the victor. Notice how they overcame. It says in verse 11, by the blood of the Lamb. Oh friend, if you don't know Jesus, if the blood has not been applied to your life, the blood that Jesus shed, that perfect, sinless Lamb of God, if it's not been applied, you cannot defeat the foe. You will not have victory. You will face his demise in the same location in eternity. The fact of the matter is, sin damns us, but Jesus frees us. Jesus came that we might have life. And we can walk in victory. We not only need the victory of salvation by faith in Christ, but we need the daily victory by submission to Jesus, to walk with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, victory for the Christian comes directly through Jesus and his work on Calvary's cross. I'll tell you what, the devil is a spit-firing mad individual. Notice verse 12, it says, "Therefore rejoice, O ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." His time is short, and as we think about the tribulation period, and the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, the devil is intensely angry and will persecute. And notice verse 13 says, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." Now, I believe here we find the woman being broader than just Mary, of course, and referring to the nation of Israel, and perhaps also by extension referring to those who believe on Jesus. And he persecutes them. Verse 14 says, "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent." This time, times and half a times, I believe is referring to 3.5 years, which I skipped that verse, but it was up in verse 6. Referred to basically a 3.5 year period of time. And I think this is referring to the protection God gives to his people, perhaps specifically the nation of Israel, who are believers, but those who believed on the Messiah during the 3.5 years of tribulation. And I believe that's what the time, times, and half a time is referring to. A year, 2 years, and half a year. They are protected, as it says, by the wings of this great eagle. Verse 15, "And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth." So when the serpent is attacking the followers of Jesus, the people of God during the tribulation, those who've believed on Jesus as the Messiah, when they are attacked, the Bible describes to us the protection that God will give. And even the earth, described here as helping the woman, helping the followers of Jesus. And notice verse 17. It says, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus." Do you know who the devil hates? He hates those who obey God, and he hates those who have the testimony of Jesus. And I'll tell you, that's why sometimes when you choose, friend, if you're listening today, and you choose to follow Christ, and sometimes things seem to get more difficult. Sometimes the battles seem to be more adverse against evil. Oh friend, just know that there's an enemy who wants to destroy you, and he wants to ruin your testimony for Jesus. We must be faithful. We must hold closely to the Lord Jesus in these last days. We have we don't know what tomorrow holds in the specific sense, obviously long term in the prophecies. We know things are going to get worse and worse before Christ returns for his own. But you know what? We can have victory. Two things. Do you know my Jesus? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? If you haven't, today can be that day. And secondly, as a believer, if you are a believer, are you walking with Jesus? Are you in submission to Jesus? Because that's the only place you will find victory. It doesn't matter what stubborn sin is in your life. You will not get victory unless you are submitted to Jesus, walking with him. Oh, the glorious victory of the children of God. There is a real spiritual battle. We can see that. I invite you to read on your own today, Ephesians 6, talking about the spiritual armor of God that God wants us to put on to stand against the wiles of the devil. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6, verse 12. The victory is in Jesus. And so let us submit ourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from us. He is a defeated foe. So we have the allegory today. This great wonder in heaven, the allegory of the ages, the horrible foe and the great victor. The horrible foe and the great victor.